Yo, what's happening, my beautiful people? You now tuned in to the Big and Bright Podcast.
It's your boy Big.
And it's your boy Bright.
Yes, sir.
First and foremost, we are back, ladies and gentlemen, into the studio. Thank you, Broken Knuckle, yes, for all you do for us.
The crowd goes wild.
Thank you to Katie, yes, with her engineering greatness, yes, Marco for his engineering greatness and everything. He kept us alive,
yes,
and going.
Marco held us down for about
during the COVID-19 for the last 2-3 months.
Yeah,
it's like
about 8 weeks. Yeah,
thank you.
Yes, we sound good, right?
We sound damn good.
Yes, Katie in the building, and you can tell because we sound wonderful.
Sounds very professional.
Back in Waterford, back in the studio. Yes, everything is orange and gray and yellow.
Doing
it
live.
Let's get it.
But on a more important note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretty sure everyone is abreast on what's been going on here, not just only in our city of Metro Detroit, but all around the United States of America and all around the world. Just the tragic death of, you know, when what I would like to call just open
murder. Yeah.
In front of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just it's sickening. It pisses me off. Again, here at the Big and Bright, we don't run away from these issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we tackle them head on, as we talked about the Colin Kaepernick situation. Mm-hmm. We talked about the black quarterback in the NFL situation. We talked about the Jay-Z ordeal. We covered a lot of ground on racial injustice and how we feel about it, you know, and it's not just with black, you know, with brown, Latino, mm-hmm, Asian, whatever. Mm-hmm. If, you know, we cover all those topics, man, not just sports. We keep it sports, you know, we keep it about sports, but at the same time, we're people as well at the end of the day. Right. We all bleed the same. We all breathe the same air. We all drink the same water. You know, it is sickening to see that we have such hatred, such demise for our black skin still in today's country. It pisses me off beyond belief. I am all for the protests. I am pro protests. And then you got those that like to say, oh, well, the looting and all, mm-hmm, this and all that. Well, okay, I get it, but I can understand and tell you this. Number one, a lot of those damn store owners have insurance. Mm-hmm. Okay, not saying that it's right, and I'm, mm-hmm, not condoning it, but at the same time, if you own a business, I hope you should have insurance, just like if you own a damn car.
Right.
Now, if that has happened and you don't have insurance, then, hey, I mean, hell, man, one catastrophic event like these riots, I mean, hell, a fire or anything could have cost you your business.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, moving forward, you know, you got these individuals who are pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
They've been cooped up in their houses for the last 3 months.
Yep.
Not only been cooped up in the house for the last 3 months, and now and Michigan is the highest in unemployment rate in the United States of America. Not only that, but across the border here, mm-hmm, at the U.S., people are broke. People are frustrated. People are angry.
Depressed.
And then you have a president, and I don't give a damn. You have a president that sits up here and promotes racial divide, because that was his campaign push. And I don't understand any American, let alone the white Americans that are poorer than me, voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I got the most money in the world. Hell, I'm far from it. But you're in a far worse boat than me, and you're voting for Donald Trump. It only tells me one thing about you. I'm just gonna call a spade a spade. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. You only voted for him because of his racial ideas and his racial views, his sexist views, and what I can't see it any other damn. I can't see it any other way.
Yeah.
And he promotes this because he plays into his demographic. He knows who his demographic is. You see what I'm saying? And so again, when those race radicals drove those cars into those crowds in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed the young lady.
Hmm.
You know, that was crazy as all hell. You know, when they went ahead with the tiki torches and whatnot, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And all hell broke loose, and they start ganging up and jumping on people and beating people and everything like that was trying to protest their radical views.
Yeah.
Okay. What did our president do? He got on national TV and said, "Oh, I don't think they're racist." Huh? Oh, okay. So you giving, and even if you don't have racist or racial views, it's what you're portraying it as, and you're trying to cover it up. Not only are you trying to cover it up, but on the flip side of it, though, you sit up here and you, instead of condemning and saying, the, you know, whatever, whatever, you quick to call the black athletes from the NFL sons of bitches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yet these individuals who do these, who kill.
Right.
In the name of white power, and who kill and the Aryan Nation, you have nothing to say negative about these individuals. And it's funny that his name came up along with my man who was found guilty of the child sex ring and everything else. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump was listed with that. Not Donald Sterling, but what's the guy's name? It's not ringing.
Owner?
No, he's not an owner.
Oh, okay.
Harvey Weinstein. Okay. Yeah. You know, and his Donald Trump's name was listed on that, and it all came out. Naomi Campbell was a part of it too. Another disgusting human being. However, you know, a child sex ring.
Hmm.
You know, Donald Trump was front and center with that, having sex with 12-year-old girls. It all got aired out on the internet. But however, we're not diving into that. What we're diving into, again, is our president not being able to divide, you know, not being able to bring the country together, but yet divides the country and takes it back to, you know, hell, 1940, 1950s type action.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Between the races. Which is BS. So,
yeah,
he, you know, you add that, it's like pouring gasoline on a raging fire.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm like literally split down the middle. I'm like literally numb, at a loss for words, and then I got so much I want to say. I'm gonna start off with this. Close your eyes, and just in your mind, picture the image of Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Do you get it?
Right.
I mean, this guy kneeled in silent in peaceful protest, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At this point, and I probably speak for a lot of black America, dude, man, we at the point where it's like, F that flag, bro.
Yeah.
That flag don't mean nothing to us, bro.
Not a damn thing.
It doesn't.
Not a damn thing.
You know, you want to get up there and stick your chest out and, oh, you're speaking against the flag, and this is not the home of the free, bro.
No.
It's not.
It's not.
The opportunities are not given the same to us.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm just at a point, dude, where I'm just tired, dude. TIED. I'm not, you could just take the R out. I'm tired, bro.
Yeah.
As an American, as a black man, I'm tired. I'm tired, man. This is not what, you know, and then, you know, I think the government has a lot to do with trying to distract us from the COVID with this whole thing. I mean, it's always, if it ain't one thing, it's another. They're just trying to take control, man, of these different situations. But ultimately, man, my heart goes out to not even just George Floyd's family. Obviously, our hearts go out to him and his family, but all the ones way back, man.
Yeah, that were killed by cops, or just flat out
injustice, just
flat out racial injustice.
Period. I mean, can we be honest here? If this was a white man, he wouldn't even be on his belly.
They beat the hell.
I mean, let's just keep it 100.
They beat the hell out of dude before this video that came out.
And he was in the back of the cruiser, what I understand.
They were taking turns.
They took him out of the car.
Beating his ass. They was taking turns beating his ass while he was handcuffed in the back of the cruiser while one stood watch. You know, I'm sorry. I believe in the true thought, eye for eye. I don't give a damn. I don't care. It's an eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. You kill one of mine, I kill one of yours. I'm serious. I'm really fed up to this point.
Dude, I had to talk with my wife right last now. Night. And I had to talk with my wife last night. And I said, babe, I said, at this point, I get it. Like, with the whole riots and stuff like that. And I mean, it's not even like the people. There are legitimately people who want to go down there, stand peacefully. I like what the Flint mayor did. He was like, he asked his crew, said, what y'all want to do? y'all want to take these uniforms off and march with these people? Like, it's people that are at a point where they're ready for change. They want to be a part of that change.
I think the only way change will come, you have to have police officers policing police. And you know, that's the only way this crap is going to change.
And the unfortunate part about it is, bro, it's a lot of cowards with them badges, man.
Of course. But the only way it will change is if you have legitimate good cops policing cops.
And there are good cops out there. We know there are.
Absolutely.
We know that there are good law enforcement officers.
One of my good friends, one of my best friends, my closest friends, Ernest Eaton. Mm-hmm. He is a cop out in Arizona. So I know there's good cops out there. There's good cops out there, you know. However, I'm just to a point where an eye for an eye. These individuals that had a hand in George Floyd's death,
yes,
they should be killed.
And they were
my opinion.
They were all on camera.
They should be killed. Period. I don't give a damn about. Oh, well, that's somebody's dad. What? So was George Floyd.
Exactly.
You had a hand in that man dying, and you sat there and you did nothing. You watched it. Then what infuriates me is the guy who did it. He sat there with his hands in his pockets like, oh, well, just another day at the office.
Just like Steven Jackson said, he had the look in his eye. I know that my people got me. I'm okay doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be exonerated. I'll be whatever.
And this is and beforehand, he was he had 19 egregious acts as a police officer.
Complaints against him?
No, not complaints. Egregious acts. She's shot people wrongfully.
I heard about the complaints and stuff that he.
Yeah, this guy is a raging animal with a badge. Straight up. But, you know, look, we're not here to promote hate. We're not here to promote whatever. But damn it, we as black men, we've experienced this time and time again growing up. Growing up. You know, it's and I hate when people who didn't experience that try to voice their opinions like they know. You don't know.
You don't know.
Until you put on this skin, this black skin, and live every day and be denied opportunities to be passed over, to be falsely accused.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, to be honest,
there's no way as a citizen when, you know, you get pulled over by the police, your heart shouldn't be beating 1,000 damn miles a minute, a second. Because you don't know if you literally, legitly are going to make it home.
And I mean, you could have. You could be clean as a whistle, man. You could be as legal as possible. All your paperwork straight. You didn't make no incorrect turns. You used the signals. You could be clean as a whistle and not walk away from that situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And just to be perfectly honest.
All it takes is one paranoid officer. That's it. That's one scary ass paranoid officer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we saw it with Philando Castile.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
That was in Minneapolis.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
That was in Minneapolis.
I mean, and then the guy, you know, he sits there right on the video and tries to justify what he did. He should have kept his hands where he was. It's like, come on, fam. Really? But, I'm just at the point where if we can watch this, and all race aside, okay, if we can watch a man with his knee on another man's neck, and this man loses his life.
I'm gonna tell you
on camera.
I'm gonna tell you, if I was in that crowd, I'd have rushed that officer.
Man, I said the same thing.
And I'd have knocked him right off of him.
I said they'd have had to shoot me, fam.
I'd have knocked him right off of him.
They'd have had to shoot me because what you're not gonna do is you're not gonna take another life, not on my watch. We tired, man. But like I said. Like I said, man, all race aside, dude, if you mean to tell me we can watch this guy lose his life on camera and you can exonerate this guy or give him third degree murder.
No, they didn't give him third degree murder. They gave him third degree manslaughter.
whatever it was, he'll be out in 15 to 20 years.
Nah, he'll be out in 10 to 15.
If not sooner.
10 to 15 mandatory, he'll be out in 5.
This is where, and I don't know anything about Minnesota's judicial system or anything.
They're going to have to change that.
This is where change can start.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the outrage that's going on over the country now, I'm pretty sure the DA system, the justice system, the DA and everybody else, the prosecuting attorney, they're going to have to charge. They're going to have to come with some stiffer charges than that.
And
that's
murder. I just want to thank.
It's murder.
I just want to thank the other races who have come together.
Absolutely.
And who have
Absolutely.
Stood with us. Because I looked out there. You want to start with the stand. You got to stand, man.
I looked out there. There was Latino. They were white. They were Asian.
Man.
They were everything. Man.
I don't know
and
what
they,
city.
And we stood. And they stood together in unity, man. That was beautiful.
I don't know what city it was. I want to say it was somewhere in Oregon or something. It was a line of black people. And then directly across from them was a line of officers, and a whole group of white people came right in between that, between them being head to head, and stood in front of the black people. That was just a stand of solidarity, man. Things like that means something, man. Especially when it's coming from the heart. There are people that are white who are tired.
Yeah.
Legitimately, there are white people that are like, dude, why do we keep doing this to them?
As Americans.
Yeah.
We fed up, man. We fed up. You know, we fed up.
I appreciate LeBron James, and I appreciate those NBA guys who take a stand. You know, LeBron James back in the day, he wore the I Can't Breathe shirt. I think it was either Eric Garner or.
Yeah, it was Eric Garner.
You know, one of those guys. You know, and it's just, you know, shout out to those guys, man. Kirk Franklin and those people who not only talk the talk, but they walk the walk. They're there. Steven Jackson, they're there front line. And this ain't even Jackson's first rodeo.
But you know that was his brother that got murdered.
I understand that. But even before it was his own people, he was one of the guys that, and Jalen Rose, that
absolutely.
Stood in the front line like, this has to stop.
Yeah, no doubt.
Shout out to those guys, man. Shout out to those guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Colin Kaepernick, he gets the biggest pat on the back, man. This dude sacrificed, and I know he's going to get money, and he's going to probably get deals. And
but that's part
books,
of the game.
But he sacrificed his first line of livelihood, which was his football career.
Absolutely.
To take this stand or this kneel. You know, folks, we got to get on the ball, and we got to start wanting to understand the situation. That's the first start. But, you know, I'm tired, man. Just overall, you know, if you ask me what's my overall, you know, and I mean, like I said, man, we're still in the midst of this pandemic. This year has been terrible with Kobe passing and it's just been a lot, man. So
I think 2020 will probably go down as one of the worst years in American history.
But you know what, bro? Today is June 1st. And I, as a man of faith, I still believe that this year can turn around. Whatever that means to y'all out there, whoever's listening, we don't have to settle for, oh, this has been the worst year ever. Okay, but it can turn around to be a better year. So like my partner Bright always says, man, be a better you. Be a better you first. When you change you, then we can change the world.
That was deep, man.
That was kind of deep, wasn't it? Just a little bit, man.
Nah, it wasn't for real.
Listen at you.
But,
hey, man, it's good to sit across from you again, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I missed this vibe, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's jump right into the sports, man, and let's lead the politics to the politicians, man.
All right, man. What you want to start with, bro?
Let's keep it sports, man. But jumping right into it, man, speaking of, well, you mentioned LeBron James. Well, the other day it was LeBron James and his good buddy, old Smith, you know, they were riding bikes there. And
oh, J.R. Smith and those guys?
Yeah,
and
they
AD.
Were riding bikes. And
J.R. Smith, AD, and LeBron.
Yeah, and then they were coming back, and J.R. Smith is caught up in the midst of the rioting there, and some guy randomly bust the window out of his truck. J.R. Smith chased this fool all the way down about 3 blocks. And we see video of J.R. Smith literally beating dude's ass right in the street.
I did end up seeing
as people were trying to as people were trying to record and whatnot. And, you know, I guess that was his publicist or his, you know, little Arab guy running around. He's like, come on, dude, don't record.
Yeah, they were trying to protect him. People trying to grab him, get him.
J.R. Smith was whooping dude ass right in the street.
It's just funny because he made a video. He made a video like, yeah, man, if y'all see this video come out.
He just told him why.
Right.
He was like, this is why. this is why I did it.
This is what happened, man. Dude, they know it was my truck. Knocked my window out, man, and I had to take care of him. So, you know, that, you know.
It
was kind of funny to see. And then he like.
He was getting his ass whooped in the street. Like, dang.
That was kind of funny to see. Dude. I don't promote violence, but that was kind of funny.
Hey, you better know. You want to go out here and bust out car windows, you better know what the hell you doing. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he ran until he couldn't run no more. But J.R. Smith was he was beating the brakes off my man right there in the street. He was putting a good whooping on him right then and there. Kicked them all in the face.
I'm pretty sure that our fans have seen the video by now.
Oh, man. If you haven't seen the video, check it out. It's definitely on Instagram Live.
I'm sure TMZ put it.
TMZ has it all. All you got to do is just put in J.R. Smith beats up rioter.
You can just type in J.R.
I mean, damn.
All right. So word is coming down the pipe that the NBA is trying to come back.
Yes.
Speaking of the NBA coming back, part of that would be the 2020 NBA draft, which is expected to be in September, with free agency starting on October 1st, summer season / playoffs coming. So this is what's coming down the pipe.
It's coming down the pipe, but NBA, I have two big gripes, right? But beforehand, we put up a poll, asking NBA fans, do they want to see the season come back? Mm-hmm. Or do they want the season to just be done with for the year and come back in October, late October, early November, mm-hmm. on time, like it usually does? And we'll just go ahead and read off some comments and rattle off, you know, the percentage. How many people that voted there?
So that particular, when we talked about the NBA playoffs or NBA coming back, that particular one wasn't a poll. I'll get to the polls that we had.
Okay.
But that was a question that we posed on Twitter. Let me scroll to that real quick.
That was just one of the things that we had there. It's just, you know, in all retrospect, me personally, I think it's stupid.
Okay.
I think they should wrap the damn season. I think they should. It's over. It's over. What the hell are you bringing it back for?
So we got about 13 comments on that.
And I'm going to tell you why I think. Mm-hmm. They should leave it alone, but continue.
I'm just waiting on it to my little wheels turning. But it says, are you guys in favor of the NBA coming back this season? If so, straight to the playoffs or nah? One of our friends, Musa Ritz, says, yeah, but I don't know about straight to the playoffs. Yee Center says, I'll just say his name, Kanye Center. Straight to the playoffs, rather start the season late than wasting this one. Maybe a few regular season games to get them in shape. At NCAT We Trust says maybe a few regular season games. There are a couple of fringe teams in that could most likely gain a spot. Let's see. At Steven 06 says, no, I think they need some regular season games to get into rhythm. How does going straight to the playoffs benefit them unless you are one of the few tanking teams? However, far more teams are right for PO seating. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, and then you got King Push here, King Push T. He responds, 2 day of practice, 3 exhibition games in 3 days that don't count towards their record.
Okay.
A few more days of practice and then playoffs. That is garbage, in my opinion. That is just that's just straight up garbage. You got Skillinoy's Viking. It says, come back straight to the playoffs. My team ain't competing for it this year anyway.
Yeah, he's a Timberwolves fan.
Absolutely. And then you got Shy the Point God says, play an attorney for the last seeds and maybe a few warm-up games for the other squads. Yee Center, he says, straight to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Rather start the next season late than wasting this one. He's got to probably be a Laker fan.
Jeffrey says, I feel like it's getting too late to start back up now.
It's to the point where...
Call it a wash and prepare for next
season. Yeah. And that's how I feel about it.
I understand.
It's stupid as hell to bring it back. Number one, you're going to get bad play for the first 2-3 weeks.
I feel like guys are going to get injured if they do that.
Exactly.
I do feel
exactly. Yeah. Then you got to deal with the load management crap.
Yep.
Everything else on top of that. Who the hell wants to deal with that, man? That's weak. I don't want to see that.
Well, they're talking about, and I feel like if there ever was a time to implement something new or try something out, like a tournament of 20 teams or whatever, I feel like now would be the time. Change up the format. Make the game shorter. Make it to where it's fun and interesting. Because I don't know if you remember this or not, man. The last postseason was pretty freaking exciting.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. No, and I'll just go down the line. Dame Lillard hit that boy on Paul George.
No one cares.
What you mean?
Listen, no one remembers.
Let me finish. Yes, they do.
Go ahead.
Kawhi Leonard hit the only buzzer beater in Game 7 NBA history, bro. That was those times were exciting. It was very exciting last playoff season.
In NBA history, only Game 7
Google it.
Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history.
That was the first time in NBA history that there was a Game 7 buzzer beater made. Yes, Kawhi Leonard hit it last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Bulls and Cavs, they only went to 5 games.
Okay, but it was exciting. I was sitting there looking at the highlights the other night. It was a one-hour-long highlight on YouTube of the most exciting playoff memories from last year, dude. And I had hair standing up on my arms. This was exciting. It was super pumped, dude.
It was weak.
What was weak about it?
It was weak.
What was weak about
it? It was weak.
You
had a Toronto Raptors team that beat a hobbled Golden State team.
Even Golden State was at full strength until the end of the Houston series.
They were hobbled.
That was exciting. The Houston Golden State series was exciting.
No, it wasn't. It ended in six. Five. I'm sorry, five. It ended in five.
Man, I don't know what you was watching, bro, but I had a good time watching the playoffs last year.
I don't give a damn about it. Look, let me tell you something.
Actually, the first round was probably the most exciting round.
Let me tell you something. I could give a flying damn about any NBA basketball right now. You want to know why? Because there's so much bad basketball being played.
See, but that's your own personal feelings
about it. No, it's the truth. No one wants to see this.
You just said that the playoffs last year was whack?
Listen.
Really?
Yes, it was. Let me tell you this, okay? Because everyone knew who was going to be there at the end, okay?
You said that Toronto was out in five.
They should have been if Golden State was healthy. The thing is this, right? And this is the honest to God truth.
So you don't want to see no more basketball this year,
no,
period.
Hell no. I don't want to see it because you want to know why? You're going to get a bunch of bad basketball. These suckers ain't played in 3 months. 3 months. What, you think they're going to come back and be at the best, at the top and peak of their game?
Of course not.
So what the hell you want to watch it for?
I mean,
you want to watch bad basketball? Because you're going to complain after the first week.
I would rather watch bad basketball than no basketball. Personally.
Hell no. Bring it into next season. Scrap it. I don't want to see it, man. I don't.
Okay. Well,
that's really how you feel. At the end of the day.
That's how you feel. We got a lot of fans.
Let me tell you.
Otherwise.
It's only four teams you want to see. Okay?
Okay.
It's only four teams you want to see.
L.A., Lakers, L.A. Clippers.
You want to see the Lakers. You want to see the Clippers. You want to see Milwaukee. And you want to see Toronto. That's it. You don't want to see nobody else. You don't care to see nobody else.
Some people want to see Houston.
Do what?
Hey, man.
See Houston do what?
Houston got a big fan base out here.
See
man.
Houston do what? That's my question.
What Toronto did last year? Do a surprise somebody.
Okay, so does Houston have a legitimate shot in hell in beating the Lakers?
Can
no.
I be perfectly honest with you?
You know they don't.
Can I be perfectly honest with you? Because Golden State is not what Golden State was. The NBA Finals is wide open.
Golden State is hurt, of course. They'll be back
what
next year.
What I'm saying
year.
Is because you knew Golden State was a lock when they was in the Finals. Golden State, this little like this team that they had the last like 5 years, they were almost like the 90s Bulls. You kind of don't want to play them because you know what the end result was going to be. Now that they're not that right now, I think it's wide open.
Man.
You have your opinion, I have my opinion. Katie have her opinion. Marco has his opinion. Everybody had their opinion on who they think is the best team or who could win. Somebody might think Denver got a chance. Whatever. I'm just saying, man. You thinking the Clippers or the Lakers or whoever going to go to the ship, that's not the gospel truth, fam. You don't know who going to do it. You said Golden State was going to win last year, and they didn't. So stranger things have happened. My whole thing is it's wide open.
Why didn't they win, big?
I'm just saying it's wide open.
Why
that's
didn't
all
they
I'm
win,
saying,
big? Why didn't they win? Why didn't they win? Because two of their top three damn players had season-ended, damn near career-ended injuries.
Can I ask you a question? Why did the 04 Pistons beat the Lakers?
You say some of the
No. Answer the question. That's a legit question. Why did the 04 Pistons beat the 04 Lakers?
Because Shaq and Kobe was beefing.
Okay. So everything has an excuse now.
No, it's the damn truth.
At the end of the day.
It's the truth.
You got to play the game.
It's the truth.
My thing is you got to play the game.
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what. And you,
so
you know,
if the season was to continue, who would win it?
We're not finna yell. What you know, you know in your.
I know it's
you
open.
You know in your freaking heart.
I know it's open.
Let me tell you something. You know in your heart. Line it up again. Shaq and Kobe don't beef. They sweep the Pistons, man. You know that.
They lost in five.
Again, if Shaq and Kobe wasn't beefing, line it up again.
If K-Love don't go down and Kyrie don't go down, maybe the Cavs win too. We're not going off what ifs,
man.
What
the hell are you talking about?
We're not going off what you talking about.
We
what ifs.
Know what we know.
If you
okay, we know Shaq and Kobe was beefing. Did the Pistons win another title after that? Hell no. That was luck.
We talking about that. We talking about 04, bro.
Did the Pistons win another title after that?
Bro.
Did they win another title after that?
Did the Lakers go back?
Did they win another title? Yes, they did. And they won three more championships.
Like 3 years later.
Your point is
they won
what?
Two more. They won two more.
They went to what? Three more finals?
They won two more.
If I'm not mistaken.
They won against Boston. They won.
They beat Boston.
And they beat Orlando.
Okay. They went again against Boston.
But don't say
they
won
lost.
Three more.
Well, they went to three more. They went to three more finals, okay? Did the Detroit Pistons win another title after that fluke of 04 season?
Like you,
yes or no?
In your words, they went back. They went back
yes
and lost.
Yes or no?
No, they lost.
Okay.
They went back and lost.
Okay. So, if Shaq and Kobe were
why
not
gotta
beefing.
Why got to be a fluke? Why got to be a fluke?
Because they didn't do it. They didn't do it again. It was a damn fluke.
That's
we
not,
all knew that was a.
It's not right, bro.
You, so, you're going to say the Pistons, when you seen the
I'm
Pistons.
I'm going to say that the Pistons hit stride at the right time.
You gonna shut up? Cause in your
don't
heart
tell
of hearts,
me to shut up!
Shut up! In
it's
your
the
heart,
truth.
In your heart of hearts, you know good and damn well you was not putting your money on the Pistons
they
against
won
the Lakers.
But that's why you play the games. It's beautiful. That's the beauty in it.
Listen to what
that's
I
the beauty in it. I don't gotta put my money up. I'm glad that they. I'm a Pistons fan, and they surprised me.
You knew they wasn't gonna win that series when they said the Pistons versus the Lakers. You knew they wasn't gonna.
I knew
you probably was up there like, man, they're gonna get killed,
no,
man.
When I said if we win one in L.A., there's a chance. All you want is a chance, man.
Look, that was a fluke.
If that was your Bears playing in the Super Bowl,
that was a fluke. That
if
was
that was
fluke.
Your Bears playing in the Super Bowl, right?
That was a fluke.
All you need is a chance, right?
That was a fluke. I mean, you can call it what you want. That was a fluke.
I'm calling it what it is. They
caught Shaq.
They called that a five-game sweep.
They caught Shaq and Kobe beefing at the right time.
And that was their
chance. The only reason they got the beefing is because Shaq wanted to prove a point, just like Kobe wanted to prove a point.
Just like Shaq wanted to prove a point when he left Orlando.
You can't win without me. Well, and Shaq wanted to prove a point.
But I just
and at the end of that season,
and this is why I'm glad,
at the end of the 04 season, that's why Shaq was so disgruntled, because he thought the Lakers were going to get rid of Kobe, and Jerry West sat them both down.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry West sat them both down at the end of the 04 season,
mm-hmm.
and said, "I'm sorry, but we're gonna have to go into another direction," and. You just not in our future plans. And Shaq thought Jerry West was talking to Kobe. Jerry West turned to Shaquille O'Neal and said, Shaq, we're going to move on with Kobe.
That's just crazy. I was literally watching this magic moment last night. You know, the Magic and the Penny,
mm-hmm.
30 for 30.
Yeah.
And it was just funny how Shaq was giving so much praise to Jerry West. He was like, you know, because the Orlando Sentinel at the time had posed the question, is Shaq worth 4 years, $80 million? And 85% of the people was like, no. 15% was like, yeah. And Shaq looked at Jerry West, who was like, okay, you want to be a $100 million man like Alonzo Mourning? We gonna see what we can do. Shaq was giving praise to him and saying, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Like, this guy was like, he didn't even know me, and he was like, I'm gonna see what I can do. Now the same situation comes up another 4 years later, or whatever, however many 8 years later, whatever, 7 years later. And this time, Kobe is picked over Shaq. So that was the second time in Shaq's career where
he
his little
known.
Ego got hurt. His little
but
feelings
Shaq,
got hurt.
Shaq should have known that Jerry was going to pick Kobe over him, because Kobe was Jerry's
Absolutely.
Pick.
Absolutely.
Kobe was Jerry's
picked the
draft
same
pick.
Year
he was
Shaq was signed.
Kobe was Jerry's draft pick.
He was. And that's just crazy, man. I hate the way Shaq's career, he ended up in Phoenix and Cleveland and
Boston.
Like, come on, Shaq. I mean, Miami was fine. And he ended up winning the ship without Kobe. And Miami
D-Wade won that.
On Flash's back.
D-Wade won that.
D-Wade was that guy.
Yeah.
And D-Wade should have won at least one MVP.
For those who want to scream that, oh, well, D-Wade had Shaq. Shaq only averaged 12.3 points per game in that final series.
And I think D-Wade was up 30, 32 points a game somewhere around there.
And Alonzo Mourning averaged 16. Off the bench.
Oh, he averaged more than Shaq.
Off the bench.
Hey, that was a nice squad. They had James Posey, GP. They had a nice squad, man.
But D-Wade was the monster.
He was.
Unguardable, unstoppable.
Absolutely. So we did go ahead and pose a couple of Twitter polls, and one of them happened to be, which player has a better chance to sign with a team? We mixed it up, mostly NFL, some NBA. These are the four choices: Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, J.R. Smith, or other. Now, we did have 10%. We ended up with 390 votes.
It's pretty good votes. A lot of votes.
390 votes. A lot of retweets.
Okay.
Number 10, last place, was other. We had three people.
Cam Newton.
Who said Cam Newton for other. And that was a perfect, you know, Bright and I had a conversation on the phone last night. He actually said I should put Cam Newton in there. The reason I didn't was because these players don't.
Bad character guys.
Right.
Cam Newton's not a bad character
guy. I was like, well, I don't want to put him in the same category with these dudes. But the fans felt Cam Newton. So out of the 10% said that Cam, or they said other, and three of them said Cam Newton.
Cam.
Second place was J.R. Smith with 22%. Well, I wouldn't say second place. I mean third place. 22% J.R. Smith. Third place, Josh Gordon with 30%. And first place finisher was Antonio Brown. 38% of you felt that Antonio Brown will be on the NFL roster next year.
And 38% of you, I would like to ask, what the hell are you smoking? Because they
must be smoking the same thing I'm smoking, because I just legit feel like he's going to get at least one more chance.
No.
Bro, Josh Gordon got like umpteen chances.
Okay, it don't matter. I'm gonna tell you why, okay?
Tell me why Josh Gordon got so many chances.
Let's break it down, okay, folks? Because Josh Gordon is not a headache. He's not a problem in the locker room. He's not a coach killer. He's not a team killer. All he does is he has a weed addiction.
Well, Antonio Brown is not a problem in the locker room per se.
Yes, he is. He's been a headache everywhere he went. And
I feel like it's more of his off the field antics with his girlfriend.
No, the tweets. The Steelers head coach has hidden so many of his BS.
I hear you.
And his antics.
So would you include the helmet and the feet as part of the locker room?
No. I'm just talking about what he did in Pittsburgh. Not showing. Do you realize he didn't even show up for his last game of the season?
When
he was in Pittsburgh? You remember that?
I'm going to tell you.
Did you forget that?
I did.
Okay. Did you forget that he didn't come to practice either? He didn't practice all week? Did you forget that?
Okay.
When he was in Pittsburgh?
No, I didn't forget it.
You sure?
Yeah. Okay, so let me tell you why I think most of his problems is off the field.
Wait.
Okay, go ahead.
Then he gets to Oakland.
Okay.
And then the whole issue of the helmet and the feet. Okay, mm-hmm. We get that.
Right.
Then you call your own general manager.
Yeah. Did he call him some female names?
He called him
like
a cracker.
That? Oh, okay. I thought he called him some other stuff.
Called him a cracker to his face in front of the team.
Not only that,
then you tried to fist fight the man in front of everybody on the team.
He literally did everything he could to get out of Oakland.
Okay, and then wait. And so we got all the antics out in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he say it's not true. And then you got all the antics in Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and then he say that's not him and it's not true. Then you bring your dumb ass to New England. and then the minute you get signed by New England, you start threatening and start going off on the girl that's listed in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
You start texting her and threatening her, and then okay, they figure that out. So they like, you know what, we gotta shut you down, man. We gotta know. And then on top of that, not only that,
mm-hmm.
but then on top of that, instead of taking your lumps on the chin and being a man about it and saying, okay, I was wrong, whatever. I don't care.
I'm just saying.
Instead of being a man about it and taking one on the chin and keeping your damn mouth shut and staying the hell off Twitter, what you do? You run to Twitter and you badmouth the very general manager that gave you an opportunity, and you bring up his own sexual rape allegations and whatnot at the massage parlor, and then you dog him and then talk crazy about him all through social media. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
He's never getting another job in the NFL. Never, ever. He's done. Okay, he can cry about it all he want. No one is going to employ his dumb ass ever again. He's done. You heard me. Done. Oh, wait. Well, hold on. The Saints went sniffing around him a little bit, trying to find out what's going on, you know, trying to get a contract or something worked out during the offseason. And then what did he do? He ran his dumb ass right back to Twitter and badmouthed the Saints organization in front office and what? No one's going to sign him.
That's crazy, man.
He's done, okay? Yeah. It's over for him.
Yeah, he literally took the nail gun into his big toe. Like, literally.
It's over for him, okay? Crazy. So that 38%, folks, I just broke it down. That 38% who believed.
390 votes, man.
Who believed that he was going to get a job.
Yeah.
It's over. He ain't got a damn thing coming. So he going to be on the couch right along with us on Sundays this season. And when you become 2 years removed out of the NFL, it's over. You're not coming back. It's a done deal for you. Josh Gordon has a better.
Technically, he played last year, so he ain't 2 years removed yet.
Damn near.
Because he played for the Patriots for two games. One thing I find baffling about Antonio Brown is, and like you said, you made some great points.
CTE.
He made some great points.
He has some type of issue going on in his brain, man, where he has CTE. Because he didn't start acting crazy until Vontaze Burfict knocked his ass unconscious in the wild card game. Remember that?
He didn't get knocked unconscious. He faked it. I'm not saying he didn't. I think he faked it. He did an acting job on that one.
He got
laid out like that, like he was dead.
Bro, he got carted off the field.
He got shot in the chest.
He got carted off the field.
Yeah, I think he was acting.
Face mask removed, carted off the field, everything. You remember that?
I remember that. But I think he was acting, though. I'm not. I remember.
Did you see how hard he got hit?
On the hit on Antonio Brown.
Personal foul, defense number 55. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
Perfect in the end.
It was a headshot.
I think he was
going over the middle.
I think he was acting. I do. Vontaze is a piece of human garbage, but, you know, yeah, I think he was acting.
Oh, okay. That's another dude that'll never get back in the NFL again. Vontaze Burfict.
Man, if they let the boy back in, then he can get another shot. But we know about that skin thing.
Yeah, well, you know.
What's his name? Richie Incognito?
Yeah. Well, hey.
We posed another question. Are there any of you fans, because I saw somebody had got blocked from Dan Gilbert's page.
Oh yeah, somebody. Seen that.
So I posed another poll that says, "Are any of you fans blocked from any athlete's Twitter?" And we got 89 votes, and 10% of them. Well, the answers was yes, no, might be, or who care? He sucks anyway. So 10% says who care? He sucks anyway. So they kind of pleading the fifth right there. 16% say might be. 21% says they have been blocked from Twitter, athletes' Twitter, and 53% says no. So I thought that was pretty funny that people actually are really heckling these guys to get blocked. Like you, but some of them are super sensitive though. Like Drummond, I know a few people that got blocked from Drummond's account.
Who cares? He is. Who cares?
Exactly. Who cares? He sucks anyway, right? He falls right in that category.
Exactly. Wholeheartedly.
So, just a day ago,
Grant Hill. Hey, I'm blocked from Grant Hill.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, you must have went and cussed him out.
Nah, remember I told that story?
Yeah.
And then I went and told it on Twitter, and he blocked me.
Straight up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hilarium.
Yeah, yeah.
We are, speaking of Twitter.
People forget how much of an asshole Grant Hill was when he first came to the Pistons.
Really?
People forget about that. You know, they see Grant Hill as
he is now.
Well,
he came out of Duke and everything.
Yeah, came out of Duke. He was a straight asshole.
Really?
A purebred asshole.
And he knew he was the man, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was the number two pick of the draft.
Who was number one that year?
I think it was...
It was 93, 94, 95.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the number one pick that year?
I think it was...
I gotta go back.
Wasn't
and
it Zoe? Alonzo Mourning?
Nope. Zoe came out in 92-93 with Shaq. Remember because the top three players in college was Zoe, Shaq, and Leitner. Number one was Shaq. Zoe went to Charlotte at 2. Leitner went to Minnesota at 3. Mm. So that was
92-93.
93-94,
right?
It was Weber and Chris, Penny.
Yep, yep. 93 was Chris Weber.
And Penny and them.
And Sean Bradley
right,
and Penny.
And Penny.
So that had to be 92.
No, 92-93 was Shaq. Shaq, Zoe, and Leitner.
So 94 was...
Right, 94-95 was Kidd and them. J. Kidd.
Yeah, that, okay, so
Grant
yeah.
Hill.
Grant Hill. Grant Hill was the third pick. Glenn Robinson was the number one pick. Jason Kidd was the number two pick.
To the Bucks. And then Kidd went to Dallas.
Kidd went to Dallas.
And then Detroit
Grant Hill.
Three.
Grant Hill went third. And then
okay.
Donyell Marshall went fourth.
To the Warriors?
No, Donyell Marshall went to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay.
And then you had Juwan Howard went to the Bullets. And then, of course, Sherrod Wright, Lamont Murray, Brian Grant. You know, Eric Montrose, remember him?
He
went to Boston.
Yeah, he ended up with the Pistons.
Eddie Jones, Lakers, you know, Carlos Rogers,
oh,
Seattle.
Wow. Okay, so Eddie Jones, 94-95.
Jalen Rose got drafted by Denver.
That was 94-95?
Yeah, that was 94.
So he came out a year right after
draft.
Weber.
That was the 94 draft. Charlie Ward got picked up by the Knicks that year.
Yeah, wasn't he like pick 17 or something like that?
26.
26? Okay.
So, you know.
That was a pretty decent draft, man.
Yeah.
As far as names.
Aaron McKee got drafted by the Portland Trail Blazers.
That was my guy, man. Aaron McKee, he ended up playing for the Pistons for a while.
Aaron McKee.
And then he went to Philly.
He did his thing with Philly.
AI,
well,
he was AI's
yeah.
sidekick.
Yeah.
He used to kill them threes. I used to love seeing them boys play because they used to wear them black silky jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
With this, oh, the boys used to be cold. I remember
yeah.
that. Yep. But speaking of Twitter real quick, we just celebrated our 1 year on Twitter anniversary yesterday. So
1 year anniversary. So that was all right, man.
Yeah, man.
One
no
year
doubt.
Thing.
No doubt. My man, that was a pretty good draft, that 94-95.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. It was the best
draft. That was straight.
The best draft.
Big Dog, J. Kidd, and Grant Hill, they had some long careers. Now, what I don't like.
Grant Hill didn't live up to it.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Grant Hill didn't live up to it. I mean, he was cut short by injury.
But
so.
Grant Hill would have been that dude, man.
He was LeBron.
Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway are two guys that should have been like probably top 10 players of all time, just to be honest with you.
Derrick Rose.
Or even top 12.
Derrick Rose. If the look,
top 10 of all time?
Yes. Look, listen, let me tell you something, okay?
You got to make a heck of an argument to that.
No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Top 10?
He was the youngest MVP in NBA history.
That's cool. That's 1 year, though.
I don't give a damn, okay?
Bro, we're talking about top 10 all time.
So what makes you think, okay, so, okay, I can name Jalen Rose's, I mean Jalen Rose, I'm sorry, Derrick Rose one season was better than any season Grant Hill has had, was better than any season Jason Kidd has had.
Okay. Them,
so
them
your
be,
point
them,
is what?
Well, what I'm saying
at such
is,
a young age,
what
you've
saying,
never seen anything as explosive, as fast, as dominating as
no,
Derrick Rose ever.
Nobody
you haven't
in their
seen
right
that.
Minds,
you haven't seen that.
Nobody in their right minds are going to put Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, or Derrick Rose in their top 10, bro. Period.
If before injury,
but,
if Derrick Rose would have never got injured,
yeah.
he would have been top 10 all time.
If Grant Hill never got injured, you can make the same argument. The dude is 6'8" point forward.
Okay.
So, I mean,
all I'm saying is, but
top
I'm
10 is
about,
a little steep. That's a little steep.
I'm talking
though.
About you, talking about Grant Hill can go, mm-hmm. but Derrick Rose wouldn't go. No, Derrick Rose would be there. Yes. Derrick Rose would probably, he probably would have went down.
Would you have put Iverson over Derrick Rose?
Would I have put Iverson over Derrick Rose?
Yep.
Derrick Rose would have been way better than what AI ever would have been. If not for injury.
So if D Rose never got hurt.
Never got hurt.
He's way better than AI.
Hell yeah.
What about I had one for you. What about D Wade? Is D Wade in that? Is he in that but once again you're talking about top 10. That's steep. Because you're talking about guys like Isaiah being left out of there, possibly Kevin Garnett being left out of there. You probably can't even put Barkley in there or Dirk. And these are guys who are in the top 5 or 7 in scoring.
Again.
A top 10, you talking about Olajuwon, you talking about Shaq, Jordan, Kobe, that Bird, that's a steep
Derek,
10 is,
Derek,
is a hard ass.
Derrick Rose
mm-hmm.
was something the league
I believe,
has
I believe
never
I believe that.
Seen before.
I believe that.
He was, man.
I believe
he was special.
I believe that.
It's certain players you can look at. There's certain players that you can look at and be like, damn, they're great players. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other players that you look at and be like,
yeah,
they special.
Yeah.
That person's special.
So what about this? I got one for you. Steph Curry, Derrick Rose. Who you giving that top 10 spot to?
You can, me.
If you're going through your list of nine players, and it comes down to those two, Derrick Rose never gets hurt. Curry, you know, I mean, shoot, you might as well say he never get hurt then if you're going to do that.
What do you mean? Curry shoots threes.
Earlier on in his career, he had about two or three riddled, injury riddled seasons early in his career. So I'm just saying, if you go give him a clean slate, Derrick Rose, Steph Curry, who you rocking with? You're still rocking with D. Rose.
Yes, because it was a time that they both were healthy, and Steph couldn't do a damn thing with him. Nothing.
You know what? D. Rose was lethal, man.
Nothing.
And D. Rose was an all-around player, too, as far as, like, he'd take it to the cup. You know, Derrick Rose... To me, Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade are kind of like, to me, they're like right there. I love the way they played because they were slashers. They were going down there getting the contact. They'll go in there and bang on you one time for the one time. You know what I'm saying? They'll step back and take the shot. And they were both clutch guys.
D. Rose was head and shoulders above D. Wade.
I don't know if I'm ready to go there.
But well, that's your opinion.
I hear you, though. But I'm just looking at. Because honestly, age. D. Rose, I mean, D. Wade, his knees didn't allow him to be.
Again, he was robbed.
Yeah, yeah.
Of his greatness due to injury.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, them guys, man, okay. And D. I mean, D. Wade had a better career than D. Rose to this point.
Because he had a longer sustained career. He didn't have any devastating injuries.
Mm-hmm.
D. Rose had blown both knees.
Man. Yeah. That.
D. Rose blown both knees, man. Yeah. You know, so that if not for those injuries, man, Derrick Rose would have been something we have never, ever witnessed in NBA history. And Derrick Rose will probably have a couple of those titles right now. He would have easily gotten a couple of those titles because they would have got him some help. They definitely would have got him some help.
Yeah.
He would have easily gotten a couple of titles by now. About three or four, I would say.
At least a couple.
He would have gotten three or four.
In Chicago?
Yeah. He would have gotten three or four.
Man, I hate when they break those
teams. He was carrying that nasty-ass Bulls team.
Yeah.
He was carrying them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you understand how old he
was? Thibodeau was working the boys too hard.
He was only 22 years old.
Yeah. He was averaging like 25.
He was only 21, 22 years old when he was carrying them up against the Miami Heat and they big three. Against LeBron and Wade and Bosh.
And Boston.
Mm-hmm. He had already gotten past Boston at that point.
Yeah,
That Bulls team was straight ass.
Stink like that. Poop.
Outside of Joakim Noah.
Yeah, they had like Taj Gibson. And, trying to think.
I can't even think of nobody else on that damn team.
Was Ben Gordon on there around
no,
that time?
No.
He was going to the
Carlos Boozer now. Was there for a hot brief. Minute.
Jimmy Buckets was on there.
Jimmy Butler.
As a young player.
Tony Snell. Towards the end, Tony Snell, the Daffy Duck without his beak, that's Tony Snell.
I'm talking about something important. My appearance. And if you won't be honest with me, then I'll find someone who will.
Black ass. Look like a struck match. Like, damn.
You're nuts, man.
Tony Snell's an ugly dude, man.
You're nuts, bro.
Damn.
Hey, bro, we should do a top 10 ugliest players of all time.
Bro.
You know Sam Cassell going to be on that bad boy.
Sam Cassell.
Sam I am.
LeVar Arrington. Look like a damn man. That's a lot of ugly dudes,
Reggie
man.
Jackson.
A lot of cats is really happy that they seeing a damn professional check.
Yeah, they definitely getting that bread because like, that bread make you look better, boy.
Y'all better be happy.
That money make you look a whole
y'all
lot better.
Y'all better be happy. Y'all who's getting a damn check because, man, Shaq, it's some ugly brothers. It's some ugly cats in the professional sports world. I'm not playing.
Remember Tyrone Hill?
Oh, shit. Bro.
That was Tales from the Crypt right there.
Oh, man.
Oh,
it was
God.
Dikembe Mutombo. Who wants to sex Mutombo.
My name is Dikembe Mutombo Polanda Mukamba Diken Jean-Jacques Mutombo.
You an idiot.
Nobody.
Yeah, Tyrone Hill. Tyrone Hill and Sam Cassell got to be like up in there, bro. They got to be high on that list.
Sheesh.
Tyrone Hill's like might be the ugliest cat I ever seen in my life. Like,
nah. Sam Cassell got to be the ugliest brother doing it, cause
bro, Tyrone Hill looked like
Lord of the Rings.
Bro, Tyrone Hill looked like Chris Rock on New Jack City.
Yeah, Pookie. His lips was super ashy.
That's
crusty.
What Tyrone Hill looked like.
And he had super crusty lips too. Like, dog, you in the NBA? Why your lips so crusty?
I got another one for you. Sheldon Williams.
That's what I'm saying.
Dead
dude,
cat.
Dude, meat.
He got
from
a,
his gut. No,
his
not
head
a, not
is
only,
like a big.
Hey, not only was his head like super big, looked like a log.
His face was like little.
No, his gum line was folding over his teeth and had his teeth looking like chiclets. And he got Candace Parker pregnant.
Bro.
And had a baby with her. Like,
and he getting child support. Because she divorced him. He getting child support. Did you see that?
Yeah, what a scrub.
That's crazy. He getting child support because he was at the crib with the baby.
Because he a
and
buster.
And she was traveling the world playing in the WNBA. Because
he a buster.
Dang. Yeah. He,
what a. Bro, it's some ugly cats in the league, man. It's
Reggie
some ugly
Jackson
dudes
like Bobby
in the league.
Smarter.
No. What about my man, Perk? Perk looked like a damn snapping turtle.
Kendrick Perkins
looked like a stray snapping turtle in the face. Remember turtles remember the Ninja Turtles when they had the wolf and the other mutant turtle?
Duh.
His lip came down to a sharp point. That's Kendrick Perkins, man. Looked like a damn snapping turtle right in the face. Like, duh, why you look like a turtle?
Good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
Tyrone Hill, man. Tyrone Hill's number one, bro.
Man.
That dude.
No, it was some uglier cats than him, dog.
Did Tyrone Hill?
Yeah.
He top five.
It was some uglier dudes in the league, man. But boy, man, I wish we could do – I wish the world knew about Pontiac because we'd do a top 10 ugliest cats in Pontiac. I could think of quite a few. Man. Like, man, y'all some ugly brothers, man.
Hey, but you know what's great about football is that you can be as ugly as you want to be because you under them helmets.
Yeah, so. No, you can't be as ugly as you want to be.
Football, you take that helmet off, they be like, who is that?
Who's strong head over there? Cordell Stewart, ugly cat. Oh. Dog, Cordell Stewart looked like a – man, he looked like one of them foot soldiers from Fifth Element, dog. Woo, boy.
Man.
They go and get these females with these – they go and get these females and go and buy them bodies and whatnot, and then they be on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia, you know. And then they be like, oh, you wait till he go and buy you a body, then you want to get a divorce, huh?
Cordell Stewart.
Like, man, it's some ugly dudes, man. It's some legit ugly cats, man.
All right, man. speaking of NFL, D-Jax, DeSean Jackson, wide receiver, NFL wide receiver, wants all players mic'd up. He says that.
Can you imagine if
he says that if we're not going to do the crowds, we want to mic the whole player.
No, because you don't want to hear them. Dog, they would have to censor the hell out the mics.
Yeah,
but can you imagine if DeSean Jackson was still in Tampa Bay?
Now with Tom Brady and all those guys, yeah,
man,
he literally would be like the guy where just he'll have one catch for 50 yards and a touchdown every week. He would literally be that guy.
At least
we don't even need you. We got Godwin. I'm just saying he would be like that guy. They just like, all right, just throw him out there. He just go up. He go off for a route, 50-yard touchdown every week.
They would need him. I think in this upcoming NFL season, I think it's put up or shut up for Carson Wentz. I think it's put up or shut up. Hell, once the season –
just a few guys.
Once training camp starts, it's put up or shut up for Mitch Trubisky. And I think he's going to lose his spot. Because
what do you mean you think?
I think he's going to lose his
spot. Why would they trade for this dude?
Exactly.
If they – like, come on, man.
And he couldn't beat out Marquise. He couldn't beat out the Marquise cat in North Carolina who's doing drywall right now. If he couldn't beat him out
– well.
You know, he's not going to be able to beat out Nick Foles, man. I'm just being honest. I'm excited and happy about it because the Chicago Bears offense could probably pick up.
Bro.
I'm excited.
If Nick Foles is Mr. Trubisky's backup, I'm going to laugh you
I'm
to
be
scoring,
pissed.
Bro.
I'm going to be pissed. But I don't think that's going to happen. So
man,
I ain't worried about
that. That would be a day.
Because Mitch will be Mitch, and he can't read a damn defense to save his ass.
Nope.
So I'm not worried about that. So we'll take care of the Lions week one with Nick Foles. I'm rocking with that. It gives the offense more flexibility and let the defense play with their ears pinned back. Let's do it. Before we get up out of here, we just definitely touch on another note here. Michael Jordan just wanted to come to the forefront here. And just reading off what he said, I'm deeply saddened, truly pained and plain angry. I see and feel everyone's pain, outrage, and frustration. I stand with those who are calling out the ignorance and ignored racism and violence toward people of color in our country. We have had enough. I don't have the answers, but our collective voices show strength and the inability to be divided by others. We must listen to each other, show compassion and empathy, and never turn our backs on senseless brutality. We need to continue peaceful expressions against injustice and demand accountability. Our unified voice needs to put pressure on our leaders to change our laws, or else we would use our vote to create systematic change. Every one of us needs to be a part of the solution, and we must work together to ensure justice for all. My heart goes out to the family of George Floyd and the countless others whose lives have been brutally and senselessly taken through acts of racism and injustice. That was by Michael Jordan. For the first time, Michael Jordan has came out against any type of racial injustice, anything, you know. While he was playing, he never wanted to get into that, which was touched upon in The Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jordan is saying that, hey, damn it, I own something now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, look, this is what it is. This is, you know, some will cry and say too little, too late.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion on it, better late than never.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little bit surprised that it took him this long, seeing as he's from the South. He's from North Carolina.
I'm not surprised.
He owns a team in Carolina.
I'm not surprised. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he's a billionaire now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. You get to where you got to go. Once you're there, then you do what you want. You know, you say you start picking up on this. You can't do that and you're not in the position. You got to have a seat at the table first in order for your voice to be heard.
So the question becomes, because Jordan, he doesn't stand to lose anything.
Not a damn thing.
He's not going to lose any Jordan sales.
Nope.
He's not going to lose ticket sales from the Charlotte Hornets.
Nope.
He's not going to lose any whatever Nike or Gatorade or anything like that. So the question then becomes, why does he not? You know, I mean, does he legitimately? I mean, because, you know, one would think, oh, he don't care about this. He don't care.
Hey, who knows, man? You know.
He don't stand to lose anything. Most people
don't
do things because they, oh, man, I can't do this. That's going to affect my bottom line, A, B, and C. But, you know, I respect him for not necessarily getting him. I mean, I wish that somebody that has the kind of power that he has would do more publicly, but. You know, I respect his decision to do whatever you got to do, man.
Before we get up out of here, folks, we'd like to give a box of booty-os to those officers in Minneapolis. Period. I mean, I can't see it any other way. So go ahead and cue it, Katie.
The booty!
Oh!
You took a man's life for absolutely nothing. 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 He wasn't trying to kill you. He wasn't posing a threat to your life or livelihood, but yet you took his life. So
I like to give a box of booty-os to all of those looters who came from outside cities, suburban cities, and to the inner cities, tearing stuff up. So definitely, Katie, cue it.
The booty!
Oh!
And I will also like to piggyback on that and give a huge box of booty-os to the individual who was walking across the damn camera while the damn news reporter was giving the news on what was happening and looting and robbing, and he walked past with a damn Gucci jacket on with the tag still on it. Cue it, Katie.
The booty!
That was funny as hell. Obviously, this guy's a looter. He's walking past the camera while my man is reporting, and he's still got the damn tags hanging off the damn jacket. Like, really, bro? Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy.
This is hilarious, man.
My last box is going to go to all 32 NFL teams, somebody should have Colin Kaepernick on their team. Point blank, period. His skill says he still can do it. He's not the worst. He wouldn't be the worst quarterback in the NFL if he was in there.
By far.
By far. He'd probably be one of the top at least 40 guys to throw the ball. So, Katie, cue it up for
the booty.
Oh.
That's for all 32 NFL teams. All 32 of y'all.
Matter of fact, y'all get it again. Cue it, Katie.
The booty.
Oh.
For not giving Cam Newton a damn job. What the hell is going on to the black quarterback in the NFL today, man? Like, you're going to tell me that there are starters in the NFL that's better than Cam Newton?
Jameis Winston didn't have a job, and he threw 30 touchdowns last year. And then Jarrett Stidham is on the NFL roster, and Brian Hoyer.
You see what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
What the hell is going on? So,
come on, man.
It is what it is. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we made your day a little bit.
A little bit bigger.
And a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in to us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Big and Bright Show. Once again, that's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Big and Bright Show. Interact with us online, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, we're reading live tweets.
No doubt.
We're doing polls. We're doing everything. And we'll read them off right here on the show. If you want your voice heard, you want your opinion heard on what you feel and compelled about, like, we had a great one here where, you know what I'm saying, we were talking about great sports moments and what was the most memorable sports moment to you. Right. And it was a very touching one a gentleman had shared, you know what I'm saying, with his grandfather and whatnot.
Yep.
And the Cleveland Indians game.
Yeah, yeah. His grandfather was put on hospice, and one of his last moments that he remembered with his grandfather was that he had put on a suit and everything. He had never been to Progressive Field. And his grandfather cried as soon as he saw the field. He was like, wow, this is amazing. This is beautiful. And so shout out to that particular, I don't have his name in front of me right now, but shout out to you. You know who you are. Cleveland Indian fans, Browns fans. No
doubt. Fans worldwide. So make sure y'all interact with us, man, because we like to interact with y'all.
For sure.
That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. We're the voice of the voiceless. With that said, we are out. Go ahead and lead us out, Deuce.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.